Well, it's good to have some of you back from your camps and your retreats. I know our college group was away last weekend, and some of our adult small groups were also away. Some of you are away on vacation because of the long weekend. But it's good to have everyone back and to have you all worship with us, our Lord Jesus Christ. But for those of you who were not here, I just want to do a very quick review. Last week, we read from Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. In the NIV translation, it says, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. And then in the Message version, it says this, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what God reveals, what he reveals, they are most blessed. Last week, we went through an illustration in which I had asked three groups of people to come on stage here. One representing the Cantonese congregation, which are dressed in white. One representing the English congregation, dressed in black. And one representing the Mandarin congregation, dressed in red. And they're to try to figure out how to solve a problem. They had to turn the tarp that they were standing on over, completely over, without stepping off the tarp. And they could not use any of the things around them, just themselves. And they had to turn the tarp over completely and all remain on the tarp in the end. Well, this is how it went. The Cantonese congregation got off to a very quick start, while the Mandarin congregation was still trying to figure things out. Again, the Cantonese were just speeding ahead. The Mandarin started going. Meanwhile, I don't know what the English congregation was doing. They were talking, huddling, strategizing, I think. And they strategized some more. But when they started, did they ever go? They were climbing over each other. And in the end, they were the one who literally had the smallest tarp, the smallest visible tarp left. But that wasn't the rule. The rule was to turn the tarp completely over. But I had a comment from the other congregations afterwards that the English congregation was very united. Look, they were just literally holding on to each other with dear life. Great teamwork, guys. But it wasn't until at the end of the service, when they were asked to work outside the box, to not just consider working amongst their individual teams, that things began to take place and to happen. And this time people were clapping because they figured out, hey, they're getting it. I didn't get the last shot because we ran out of memory on the stick. But nonetheless, they look proud of themselves, don't they? I was proud of them. We were all proud of them for working together as a team. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what God reveals, they are most blessed. Attending to what God reveals. Last week, we also said that a godly vision will lead us to honor God's word and heed his instructions, not to cast off restraint and do what we want. A godly vision for ministry is not just about being relevant, having a catchy phrase, or doing something unique and different. It must be about doing and obeying the revealed will of God, attending to what God reveals. Last week, we also talked about what vision is. Vision describes where we're going. George Barna, in his definition, said this, vision for ministry is a clear mental image of a preferable future imparted by God to his chosen people and is based upon an accurate understanding of God, self, and circumstances. And that's what we did. That's what we did as a vision team. We looked at the circumstances that were around us as a community, you know, as a church. You know, we looked at the demographics of the area, the age group of the people that live in this area. You know, the predominant age were about 25 to 54 years old that live in the 3 kilometer radius of this area. Average age was 42. 77% of them were two-parent families. 23% were single family, single-parent families. And the mother tongue, this was interesting. The mother tongue of this area, the 3 kilometer radius, 36 of them had English as their mother tongue, and they continued to speak that language. 35% in the three-kilometer radius were of Cantonese, Cantonese, Mandarin, and other non-specific dialects as well. So 35% of them were Chinese-speaking, and others were Indo-Iranian and Tagala. You know, there's a lot more statistics I don't want to go through right now, but given all the data and the research that we did in our geographical area, you know, having prayed, having sought the Lord's will, having his discernment and his revelation, his divine guidance for us as a church, as Fraserlands Church, you know, there were definitely some scripture that I shared with you last week that resonated with us. First, it was this, a prophecy from the Lord God to Isaiah, in which the Lord said, "For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Salvation is offered to all." And we asked ourselves the question, are there things in our church that exclude others from outside the church and outside our culture? And I interviewed Manu, and I just want to say that I want to apologize to Manu publicly because I was told afterwards I did a terrible job of interviewing her. You know, I just didn't give her enough time to speak what she wanted to say. So Manu, sorry for that. But the Lord knew and wanted to give me a divine appointment because right after Sunday service, as Deb and I were walking along the river, guess who we bumped into? Who do we bump into? We bumped into Manu and her daughter. And so I had a personal opportunity just to apologize for cutting her off. But she said some things to us that were very key. She said that, you know, the reason she came and she stayed was because people welcomed her. You know, she mentioned some names. You know, she mentioned Deb, she mentioned Pauline, she mentioned Lila and Wendy. But there was a couple names she didn't mention because I cut her off so quickly. So I asked, Manu, who else did you want to say that I didn't mention? She wants me to say this to you, and I will say it to you. She mentioned May Mendoza, and she also mentioned Shirley Ho. These are people who really made her feel at home and welcomed. And the last question I asked Manu was, Manu, what would you like to say to us as a church so that we can be more open, so that there will be no boundaries and borders that separate us from other cultures and other nationalities? And her words are very profound, and very just straight from Scripture. She said, we just need more love, faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Because love transcends all culture. Love transcends all nationality and all ethnic groups. Other scripture we looked at last week was a commission from Jesus to his followers, in which Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, people of every nation are to have the opportunity to receive Christ as and be a Christ disciple. And then we looked at a passage where we looked at a vision from the Holy Spirit to John the Apostle, in which the Spirit of God revealed to John, you know, of a future, of a time that will take place one day. After this, I looked, John said, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. Pastor Larry led us in a song that talked about, we're singing about here as in heaven. Here as in heaven. That's the prayer that Jesus asked us to pray. May God's will be done on earth as is in heaven. May God's will be done on earth as in heaven. May this heavenly vision of the future, what the church be like, even be done now on earth, as we're worshiping our Lord here on earth. The church is meant to be a multi-ethnic, multinational, multilingual follower of Jesus Christ, worshiping him. And then the last passage we looked at last week was a teaching from the Apostle Paul to all believers, in which Paul said, so in Christ Jesus, we're all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, in Christ, there are no racial, social, or sexual prejudices because we are all one. And so, from these and other passages that we had developed as a vision team, we came across the vision that God wanted for us as a church. To be a church of all nations transformed through faith and love in Christ. I just want to share with you that I believe that this came from God. Why do I say that? It was the way that this vision came together. We've been gathering and analyzing data both inside and outside the church, looking through scripture, praying, reflecting, listening to one another, listening to God, even sharing the dreams that God had for us, literal dreams that we had over a six-month period. And then when we came together after five and a half months to talk about what could potentially be the vision, it took like 10 minutes for it to come together. It didn't take a long time. It was one person saying something, another person agreeing, a third person saying, yes, we believe in that. And a fourth person, again, confirming that this is God's vision for us. It came together so naturally, so unified, that we knew this came from God. I believe in our church vision because it reveals the very heart, the very desire, the very will of God, because it's based on Scripture, the revealed will of God in His Word, to be a church of all nations transformed through faith and love in Christ. But I also believe that it would be hard for us to reach this vision as a church unless we're all working together as one team, as one church serving together. Because we cannot be a church of all nations unless we become a church of the nations that we already have among us. We cannot be a church of all nations unless we become a church of the nations that we already have among us. And this needs to start at the leadership level, with our elders, with our pastors, with our staff. I personally have been trying to get to know our pastoral team a bit more. You know, Pastor Simon and Pastor Peter are fairly new to our staff here at Fraserlands. And it was great getting to know them more. But also, I had a chance to get to know our Mandarin congregation more, as I had opportunity to speak there a couple times in the last few months. And my dream and prayer one day, if you will pray along with me, is that I'll be able to preach in the Mandarin congregation one time without translation. That is my prayer, and that is my goal and desire in the next few months. Or pray for the spiritual gift of tongues to fall upon me. You know, as well, we've been trying to build stronger rapport with our staff and our elders so that we can work closer together. And so, as Pastor Larry mentioned, we went away for a retreat this last couple of days. And we spent a couple of days together in Hope. I just want to show you some pictures. So there's a van of people going. Why is Tom always so funny? I don't know. And we ate, obviously. Look at Pastor Peter's reaction. You know, who is this guy? Yeah, went for a walk. Reached the campsite. And then we played some games. Did you know how competitive some pastors and elders are? I won't mention any names. We start playing games. We start doing things, dueling, sculpting, you know, putting patterns together. This happened all night. We were playing in three teams, right? And everyone's saying, no, I can't. I got the answer first. And it just happened all night. We're all trying to yell out the answers and be the first to get the right answer. Somehow I'm stuck. I'm not sure why. Tom Brett was being schooled by Pastor Peter. We worshiped as well. We didn't just play games. And we had a time of listening to God. Just hearing his voice for us as a staff team, as an elder team. We served the bread and cup. We prayed for one another. Last week, we focused on the first part of the vision, to be a church of all nations. But we cannot be a church of all nations unless we become a church of the nations that we already have among us. The Cantonese speaking, the English speaking, the Mandarin speaking. Today, we'll focus on the second part of our vision, transformed through faith and love in Christ. Now, this part should be easy for us to remember. Transformed through faith and love in Christ. FLC. Fraserlands Church. Sorry, I don't know why my PowerPoint's not working. You see, our vision statement has our initials in it. FLC. Faith and love in Christ. This needs to be the DNA of our church. Faith and love in Christ. Fraserlands Church. What does it mean to be transformed through faith and love in Christ? Now, our church vision will only be accomplished by our transformation. It involves change. We cannot stay the same as we are. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 12. Next slide, please. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And Pastor Burt preached a couple of weeks ago on 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, which says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Paul talks about the transformation that takes place when we receive Jesus Christ into our lives. It is the transformation of the Holy Spirit through faith in Christ. We are transformed through faith in Christ. That is, we're transformed through our belief in Christ, in who he is, in what he's done, in what he will do in our lives. And we're also transformed when the Holy Spirit makes his home in us. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches you may he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul prays for God's glorious and unlimited resources, that we may be strengthened by the indwelling of Christ through his Spirit. It is the presence of God, the presence of Christ by his Holy Spirit living in us, that gives us strength, that gives us power. But isn't Christ already in us? The Greek word to dwell that Paul uses means that to settle down. It refers to a permanent home as opposed to a temporary place. And it's used both of the fullness of God abiding in Christ and for Christ abiding in the believer's heart. So Paul prays that by Christ, by his Spirit, he will dwell in us and settle down and take up permanent residence in our hearts, to be more and more at home inside each of us. He's no longer merely just a visiting guest who we must entertain and show our best behavior to, but he dwells in our hearts. What is it that dwells in our heart? What lives in our heart? What has given room to grow and to flourish in our heart? Is Christ crowded out of our lives? Is he crowded out of our hearts? By having Christ dwell in us, by having Christ dwell in our inner being through the Holy Spirit, we will have power because he becomes our strength. The Spirit comforts us. He guides us to know the truth. He reminds us of Christ's words. He points out when we go astray. He gives us the right words to say. He fills us with his power in order to do good, transformed through faith in Christ. It is also the transformation of the Holy Spirit through love in Christ. We are transformed through love in Christ. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, "For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." If we're not expressing our faith in God through our love for others, then nothing else we do really matter. Just think about that for a moment. And we're on mission from God each and every day of our lives to express our faith through acts of love. So whether we're a teacher, whether you're a bus driver, whether you're a waitress, a student, a stay-at-home mom, whether you're an executive, a nurse, an electrician, a plumber, whether you're a housekeeper or a grandparent or someone who's retired, how you live out your faith matters. Imagine the difference that we would make if every one of us went about our day expressing our faith through love. You know, we can be a great teacher of God's word. We can quote Bible verses by memory. We can have a high position of service in the church. But if you're not expressing your faith in Christ through your outpouring of love for others, then nothing else matters. Paul says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and could fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not love, I gain nothing. Faith without works is dead." James says this, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Putting others' needs above and ahead of our own. Serving one another in love. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Caring for orphans and widows is faith expressing itself through love. Giving to help victims of the Fort McMurray fire is faith expressing itself through love. Ministering to sex trafficking victims and families in poverty is faith expressing itself through love. This is the double work of the Holy Spirit. Faith and love cannot be separated. Expressing our faith through love, what we believe, faith, and what we do, love. The Holy Spirit must do a double work in these two different directions, from the outside in, through faith, through our belief, and from the inside out, through love and through our actions. He must work from the outside in by exposing our mind to the Christ-exalting truth. That is, he must lead us to hear the gospel, to read the Bible, to study the truth, and to meditate on Christ's perfections. But at the same time, the Spirit must work from the inside out, breaking our hard heart through understanding the enormity of Christ's love, to grasp the width, the length, the height, and the depth of Christ's love, and being filled to the measure of the fullness of God, and expressing that love to others. And as a believer, we can know something of Christ's love, but our understanding of it is limited by our experience. It's limited by our experience. It takes the whole body of Christ to understand the whole love of God. It takes our collective experiences, young and old, single and married, male and female, differing cultures and nationalities, with our varying backgrounds and experiences, to understand, together with all the Lord's holy people, the full extent of Christ's love. Every time we take communion as a body of Christ, we are reminded of and we're being shown the love of Christ. Every time we forgive one another and we extend the grace and the kindness of those who do not deserve it, we are reminded of and being shown the love of Christ. Every time we show mercy and compassion and patience to people around us, whether it's our brothers and sisters in Christ or to those outside the church, we are reminded of and being shown the love of Christ. Now, to close, I would like us to look at this passage, look at this prayer that Paul prays. And I would like us to maybe consider this as a vision prayer for us at Fraserlands Church. Let's pray this prayer together, shall we? Let's just say this together and pray this prayer to God for us as a church. Ready? I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Imagine if you knew the love of Christ that way. Imagine if you knew the extent of Christ's love in that way. When you've experienced it for yourself, you'll be able to share that same love with others. And our church will be able to be a church of all nations, transformed through faith and love in Christ. Let's pray, shall we? Lord God, you have placed before us your heart for our church, your heart for each one of us who call this place our home, a family of God. And Lord, as we come before you and as we contemplate on the vision that you've given to us as a church, Lord God, first and foremost, praise and thanksgiving be to you who has revealed this to us, who's revealed this not only to those of us who sought and prayed after it, but for those of us, oh Lord Jesus, who now have a chance to see it revealed to us through Scripture, your will for our church, for a time like this. And Lord God, may we be faithful. May you give us the strength and the power and the ability through the Holy Spirit to carry out this vision, to be able to live out this vision, to be able to allow you, Lord God, to strengthen us from above and to equip us, Lord Jesus, to live in such ways that our belief and our actions do not contradict one another, that we are truly, truly living out our faith expressed through love. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for you deserve our glory and our honor. We continue to worship you today. In your name we pray. Amen.